You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
So good to be here with you again today. And I know we might not be with each other, and that's actually one of the things I miss most. You know, in the past 5-6 weeks, I just haven't had the opportunity to be in each other's presence, right? We haven't been able to see our friends as much, and all these things I miss a lot. But if there's something I miss maybe second most, besides seeing people and being with them, it's rock climbing. My gym closed down like 5 weeks ago, nice, and so I couldn't boulder. And this year, every time during the spring, something really neat happens. The snow goes away and it becomes warmer, incredible. But my friends and I, we always take advantage of the like fresh sun and just the crisp air, and we get out and we go climbing. And so we go to different fields and we'll set up our gear. Right, we got our rope, we got our harness, our shoes, our carabiners, our gri-gri, all this stuff, and we're set up. And then, you know, I get on the wall and I start climbing up. And it's interesting because when you're rock climbing, when you're lead climbing, you're bringing up the rope with you, right? So the rope isn't already set up. You're actually setting up the rope as you go. And so you take all these little moments of trust and faith, right? First of all, it's faith in this person below, and then I'm trusting all of these different gear, but you get on the wall and it's just fantastic, right? You take a step and you just reach up and the sun's coming on, and then you can kind of feel the rustling of the wind, and you just go and you go, and it's like, oh man, I miss that so much. But inevitably, you know, take a step, I step up with my foot and then I slip, and then you clench and everything becomes a little bit, and fear like strikes you. And suddenly this bliss experience where you're just in the flow, where you're trusting all these people, suddenly all these fears invade your mind. And it's like, oh boy, okay, is my knot tied correctly? And you're holding there and you're looking down at the knot. Okay, that's tied. Is my harness on? Okay, that's good. This rope is like this. Is it going to hold me? Okay, good. Darnell down there belaying me. Is he talking to his girlfriend or is he just a bling? Okay, he's looking at me. Good. Or is it, and then all these thoughts come racing through my mind, and I do the thing that I'm not supposed to do climbing. I start gripping tightly, because what happens when you grip tightly is you start to unnecessarily tire your arms, and I'm stuck. I'm like paralyzed with fear. And this is how climbing goes. It's these moments of like faithful movement, right? Where you're trusting each of these pieces of devices and the rope and everything, and you're just moving. And then it switches quickly to like a fearful paralysis. Faithful movement and fearful paralysis. This is the story of Peter in the boat. And I think this is the story of a lot of Christians, of all Christians as we follow Jesus. Moments of faithful action followed by moments of fearful paralysis. This morning, the message that I'm preaching is titled, In Christ We Faith. Keith started a sermon series last week where it's speaking to our identity. Who are we in Christ? This week, In Christ We Faith. And I know there's probably some English teachers out there, sorry, apologies, for changing faith from a noun into a verb, right? I'm not saying in Christ we have faith, even though followers of Jesus do have faith. I'm saying in Christ we faith. I want us to take a little bit of a switch in how we perceive faith and start viewing it as a verb, as something that is an action, as something that we do. And I believe this is actually firmly rooted in Scripture. Right, we have James who kind of pits deeds and faith against each other in this way, right? People are like, you say you have deeds, but what good are your works without faith? You say you have faith, but what good is your faith without works, right? They're actually not, it's not an either or. If you have faith in Jesus, that faith is going to compel you into action. If you are working in Jesus, the works that matter most in the kingdom of God are the ones that are done in faith in Jesus. And so they're actually not mutually exclusive. They're one in the same, faithful action. Or Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is this hall of faith. It's listing all of these ways where saints have shown their faith, have faithed. You know, for example, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, the Israelites walked through on dry land through the Red Sea. By faith, Rahab harbored the spies. By faith, they performed these actions. It is in Christ we faith. Christ is the source. He is the root of our faithful movement. And outside of Christ, if when we often move in a way where it's like, okay, I think God is calling me here. And if we don't have Christ in those movements, is when we tend to slip and fall when our eyes are not fixed on Christ. And so back to the story. We have Peter, right? Peter in the boat. He's in the boat with a bunch of other disciples, but there's a handful of things that happened before this. First thing happens in Matthew 14 is that John the Baptist was killed. John the Baptist was killed, and we know that this affected Jesus because Jesus immediately, when he heard the news, he's like, I gotta go by myself and pray. So he retreated to this hillside, and he was beginning to pray, but the crazy thing is, all these local villagers, they knew that Jesus was there, and so they went to Jesus, and like, hey, teach us, heal us, do all these things. And so Jesus, gracious as he was, healed them, taught them. And then the disciples came to Jesus and was like, hey, we don't have any food. There's a lot of people here. Let's send them home. Let's get rid of them. And Jesus is like, no, we have food, right? And the disciples are like, no, we don't. But Jesus is like, yes, we do. And so the feeding of the 5,000 takes place. Incredible, miraculous event. And then all the people go home after they're fed. And something peculiar happens, right? Jesus sends the disciples across the waters. And he's like, I'll catch up with you. I just need to pray. And I don't know if you're like Peter's like, well, are they going to catch like the different Uber boat that's going to pick up? Or it's like, okay, well, Jesus will get there some way or another. And so the disciples get onto the boat and go off into the water. They go try to get to the other side. And Jesus remains praying. And then we're told that the wind comes and suddenly there's a storm that wells up on the sea, and the disciples, they're not unaccustomed to water, right? Many of them were fishermen. And so I would assume that they knew what it was to be on the water in the middle of a stormy season, of a stormy day. But they were there, and we get the sense that they were increasingly more anxious, increasingly more afraid. And we're told that it's the fourth night of the watch when they see this apparition, this ghost come to them. And the fourth night of the watch, this would have been just before dawn. So they would have suffered through the stormy time all through the night, right? All through the night. No sleep, just scared of what's going to happen, scared if the boat is going to hold. They're in the middle of this raging storm. And then we're told in verse 25 that shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. And they said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Maybe just want to pause just for a moment and do like a self-reflection I know for a lot of us, there's maybe storms, you know, metaphorical storms that we see in our lives, and they're kind of hard to ignore, right? They're right on the surface. But I think there's also a lot of us who maybe see a storm brewing and we ignore it, and so we kind of shove it aside. Or there's a storm raging on around us, but we are just like, yo, it doesn't really matter. I'm just going to go out anyways. And we just kind of ignore what is happening. I want us to take a moment and just ask ourselves the question, what are the storms that are in your life? What are the storms that are in your life right now? And then followed by that question, see if you can hear Jesus' voice saying, hey, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. In Ecclesiastes 11:4, there's a proverb written, and it was written by one of the wisest men we're told to ever live. His name was Solomon, and he writes this: whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. This is Ecclesiastes 11:4. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Before moving to Kelowna, it's been 5 years, that's crazy. Before moving 5 years ago, I was working at Southern Alberta Bible Camp, just kind of southeast of Calgary, and like loved it there. It was really fun. I was the program director, so I just got to do a bunch of crazy stuff during the summer and during the year. And this one year, I thought, my second summer, I was like, you know what would be really fun? At the end of every week, just to light off a ton of fireworks for the kids, right? Bring them out on the side of the hill, just light off fireworks. It would be awesome. And so I get approval, I get a couple $1,000s, and I go and I buy thousands of dollars worth of fireworks, bring them back to camp. And I'm like, I am set. I got fireworks. And first week, we do it, right? The first week goes on, cabins go out, and we kind of wake up the cabins, and we surprise them, and we bring them out onto the hillside. And this is Southern Alberta, so it's a little bit dry, but it was okay. There was no fire ban. And we light off the fireworks, and it was fun. It was like, you know, it's fun running. Well, one, we, you know, would run around and light them. It's just fun. And so we did that, and it was like, hey, this is great. We're going to do this every week. Kids are going to be, like, excited every week. And then the second week rolls around, and it's just so windy Friday night. So windy, and I'm like, I don't think we can do this. And I'm chatting with the director there, and he's like, no, it's probably not. And if you've ever been to Southern Alberta, you just know how windy it can get. And so the second week, we just canceled it. We didn't tell the kids about it, so it's not like they were sad. They're like, okay, we'll just double up the fireworks for next week. That'll be fun. And then the third week rolls around, and I remember, like, I started pulling up my phone, and I was looking at the weather. And I was like, oh, shoot, looks like there's going to be a thunderstorm Friday. And this was like early in the week. And I kept on checking it. And yeah, lo and behold, thunderstorm Friday night. Okay, dang it. Let's try the next week. And then the next week, Wednesday comes and there's a fire ban. I'm like, come on. And so no fireworks. And then no joke, for the next 3 weeks, I was glued to my phone. Because I was every day I would wake up, okay, what's the weather going to be like on Friday? What's the weather going to be like on Friday? And every week there was either a crazy thunderstorm, the fire ban was still happening, or it was just like 100-kilometer winds, and there's no like safe way to light off fireworks. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with it. I'm not even looking at it. So last week comes on, and I kind of have like put all the fireworks aside. They're not going to get blown up this year. We'll do them next year. That's okay. And just going throughout my week, and Friday morning rolls around. I haven't checked the weather yet. And I wake up, and I'm like, yeah, today's firework day, right? And I go outside, and lo and behold, it's like sunny. It's calm. And I go into the office. I'm like, hey, John, is there a fire ban? And he's like, no. I'm like, Okay, great. And so my friends and I that I'm working with, we set up like these rows and rows of fireworks because we used every single firework that we didn't light off for the past couple weeks. And it was incredible. Thousands of dollars of fireworks. We just lined them up in rows in these big jugs filled with sand. And we got all the kids out in the evening. And my bud Braden and I, we had our blow torches and we lit our blow torches and we just ran like little boys lighting all the fireworks. And it was like we're in an action movie because all these shots are going on and there's just like gunpowder smoke everywhere. Fantastic. It was like one of my highlights of the summer. And then on the way back, quick aside, doesn't have any bearing. We had a bunch of fire extinguishers, and one of the fire extinguishers blew up in the back of our 4x4. It was a whole thing. But we're there, and I remember thinking at the end of summer, it's like, man, I was like constantly checking the weather. Like I wasn't just checking the weather; I was just watching it. Like day after day, I would just watch the weather, to the point where I would kind of like miss out on what was happening around me because I would be on my phone at summer camp and I would be watching the weather. I'd be watching what was going on. And something strange happened because as I watched week to week, there's a part of me that felt like I had control over how Friday would play out. Right? Like just by watching the weather, it gave me the sense, the illusion of like activity, right? I was helping change what was going on in the weather so that we could do fireworks just by watching what was going on. Can you relate to this? There's a severe temptation in our current climate to get caught up watching. To get caught up watching the news of everything that's going on, to get caught up watching the various storms in our life brew and slowly get closer, and we're fixated on it. We're just fixated on this encroaching doom we feel, and we're watching, but then at the same time, this watching, I know it often gives me this illusion of like, oh yeah, I know something, therefore I'm actually actively doing something. But the reality is that watching so intently usually leads to a place not of activity, but of inertia. Of stagnancy, of complacency, because we get so caught up watching that we get stuck. It's a little bit like the disciples on the boat. Peter was faced with this moment. It's like, okay, is he going to watch this storm or is he going to go to Jesus? And this inertia, I think it can breed a bunch of things in our lives. It can breed an unhealthy reliance on comfort, right? We get comfortable watching what's going on over there. And there's nothing wrong with comfort, but when comfort becomes a deciding factor in whether we choose to follow Jesus in certain ways, then suddenly comfort has replaced Jesus. I think watching can also breed a lot of anxiousness, right? This intent on something else can breed a lot of anxiousness and fear. And in some ways, because it tricks us into thinking that we're acting, it can actually atrophy our muscles. It can atrophy how we act. It can atrophy our faith. Just like I know when I go out climbing in a month or two or however long, I know I'm going to be needing to do some working out before that because my arms, my muscles have atrophied. You see, Peter, he knew what was going on around him. He checked in with the weather. He checked in with the storm, but he wasn't so caught up in watching it that he didn't see Jesus coming. He wasn't so caught up in watching the storm that he didn't see in Jesus coming. And so when Jesus says, "It is I, take courage, do not be afraid," Peter goes to the edge of the boat and says, hey, Jesus, if that is you, just tell me to come. Tell me to come. This is incredible. I guess I always wondered, why did Peter step out of the boat? Why did Peter step out of the boat? And I think it's because, well, he was terrified of his current situation and he saw Jesus coming and he's like, hey, there's my rescue. There's my salvation. I'm going to go to Jesus. I think he was less enamored about walking on water, and I think he was more enamored with just getting to Jesus, just moving to where Jesus is. And here's the thing, faith always moves us to where Jesus is. Faith moves us to where Jesus is. As Jesus calls us into faith, he's actually just calling us more into himself. Right? This big, miraculous faith moment of Peter walking out on the water is less about Peter walking out on the water and more about Peter walking towards Jesus. Jesus calls us into faith, and how that looks is different for everybody right now. I have a friend, her name is Savannah. You'll see her on the screen. And Savannah is the one holding the case. She's a nurse in Calgary. Well, she was in Calgary. A couple weeks ago, Savannah got on a plane, flew to Italy, and has been serving in Italy in some of the hardest struck regions of COVID-19. When she told us she was going to Italy with Samaritan's Purse, we're like, whew, that's insane, but awesome. Go for it, Savannah. She was hearing a call of Jesus on her life to go into the worst, and she responded. Now, yes, Savannah's taking a step of faith and she's stepping into faithful action. And I don't think Jesus is calling all of us to kind of leave what we're doing and get on a plane and go to New York or these worst hits places. But he is calling all of us into faithful action, into faith. A couple years ago, we did a youth Okanagan-wide event called One Okanagan. We did several of them, and there were worship nights and testimony nights, and at one of them, we had this opportunity where people could write down on a post-it note where they saw God working in their life, and then they would post it up onto this wall, and after the evening, I took a lot of them, and I compiled them in a Google Drive, and I was reading through them this week with my wife, Jocelyn, and she's like, Brendan, you should throw that in there. Those are examples of faith. And I want to read them to you right now. And I think we could even read these in ways like Hebrews 11, with the by faith. By faith, God freed me from my fears and made me the joyful person I am today. By faith, God helped me find a place where I belong and I felt welcome. By faith, I'm helping my dad through depression and the divorce. By faith, God led me to my fiance, and in 43 days, we will be married. By faith, I have saved a friend I didn't know very well from suicide. By faith, he has given me peace when I was alone at my lowest. By faith, he has given me strength to wake up and keep on spreading his joy. By faith, he helped me adjust to a new school when I didn't know anyone. I was abused by my dad. But by faith, God gave me the courage to stand up to him and leave. By faith, God gave me the courage to talk to my non-believing friends about him, even when they didn't agree with me or want to listen. By faith, God freed me from an addiction. By faith, I asked God to pour his love into me, and he overwhelmed me with his amazing love, and he healed some very deep hurts. By faith, God told me to step out and tell my sins to people. I didn't want them to know, but now I know I have nothing to fear. I have friends, family, and God. By faith, God delivered me from spirits that were causing guilt and shame in my life and has replaced it with his relentless love. Christ calls us into himself. Right? Where Jesus is, this is where he's calling us to. Faith is where we move to Jesus. Faith is where we go to Jesus. Right? You are faithing. You are taking steps of faith every time you believe that you're a son or daughter of the Most High God. You are taking a step of faith every time you do not let the sins of your past define who you are today. You're taking a step of faith every time you forgive those who hurt you. You're taking a step of faith when you reach out to someone hurting because you know Jesus has reached out to you. You are taking a step of faith when in the morning you wake up full of anxiety and you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose Jesus and his joy today. By faith, in the middle of your storm, you turn to Jesus and say, hey, I'm walking to you. But if you're anything like me or like Peter, or I think like most of us, you know, we get going, right? We take these steps of faith and then something from the side just kind of catches us off guard, right? Something scary, dangerous strikes us with a little bit of fear and we get this low grade anxiety. And without even realizing it, we shift our eyes off of Jesus to this storm that's encroaching. And before we know it, we slip and we feel ourselves sinking ever so slowly and the water starts to creep up and suddenly we're fighting for a breath. And then before we're like, oh yeah, Jesus is there. Jesus, save me. Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon would summarize Peter's journey like this. Peter is at one moment confident, another instant he is dismayed. At one moment he is treading the waves like a miracle worker, and the next instant he is sinking like an ordinary being. And so it is with us. Sometimes aloft and soon crying out of the depths, Lord, save me. This is the journey of faith, taking steps, getting sidetracked by some new fear and anxiety, slipping, crying out to Jesus, taking steps, storms encroaching, slipping, crying out to Jesus, taking steps towards Jesus. This is the journey of faith. And I want to leave us on this encouragement. The title of the sermon is not In Myself, I Faith. Or in yourself, you faith. It's in Christ we faith. My dad has this example that he shares whenever he's at a camp speaking about faith. He brings up somebody, it's an object that's in, he brings up somebody onto the stage and shows them a stool or a chair. And it's like, hey, do you believe that this chair will hold you if you sit on it? And they're like, absolutely. Yep. Like, I know it will hold me. Cool. Blindfolds them and says, okay, go ahead and sit. But right before they sit, he replaces the chair. This is kind of mean, Dad. He replaces the chair with a cardboard box. And then they sit very confidently because it's like, it's a chair. And they sit and they fall right through the cardboard box on their butt. It's like, oh, shoot. Okay. And then they stand up. And then my dad's like, haha, I'm just kidding. This time it really will be a chair. This time it really will be a chair. Come on. And so blindfold again, and the guy goes to sit, and he's tentative this time, right? He reaches back, but he feels the chair, he feels the solidness, and he sits. And then my dad asks, how much you believe that it's a chair, is that what holds you up when you sit? You believing the amount of your faith in that chair holding, is that what holds you up? And the answer is no, because what holds us up is actually not the strength of our faith. It's not the strength of our belief, but rather it is the one we believe in. What holds us up is Jesus, the object of our faith. This is why Jesus can say to us, it is the faith of a mustard seed that can move mountains, because Jesus only requires such a little bit of faith because he is the one who does the holding. He is the one that steps into the storm and calms the waves. He is the one, not you or I. We place our faith in the one with the power, the one with the strength, the one who holds all things together. The one who Paul would say, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. according to his power that is at work within us. And so let us end by being like Peter, by being as the author in Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? Let us this morning, this day, this week, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the pioneer, and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for showing up in the middle of our storms. And Jesus, we pray. I pray for courage for my friends, for myself, that we would be able to fix our eyes on you and take that step. Whatever that step of faith each one of us is, you are calling in today. Maybe it's something really big. Maybe it's just something small. It's like rolling out of bed in the morning. Jesus, I pray that we take that step of faith, knowing that you are there to hold us up, knowing that even if we take our eyes off of you, Jesus, you can pick us up. And so, Jesus, thank you for being the author and perfecter of our faith. We know we couldn't do it on our own. And so, Jesus, call us deeper into yourself as you reveal more and more of your strength and your faith in our lives. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen.